The podcast you are listening to of Holmberg's Morning Sickness is brought to you by my friends at Eric's Family Barbecue in Avondale. Meet mesquite. Repeat. Trust me on this one. You've had barbecue before, but you haven't had it this good. Eric's Family Barbecue in Avondale, ericsfamilybbq.com.
When was the last time you had really good Texas-style barbecue? Eric's Family Barbecue, the way it's supposed to taste. Always delicious, never rushed, and prepared to perfection. Eric's Family Barbecue uses only 100% fresh meat, slowly smoked over mesquite wood until it's juicy and delicious. We all know their brisket is the best, but have you tried their pulled pork, pork ribs, or rib tips? Amazing, and their sides are all house-made. Eric's Family Barbecue in Avondale. Meet, mesquite, repeat. Make the trip. You won't be sorry. Go to ericsfamilybbq.com for more information.
This man needs medical attention.
Holmberg's Morning Sickness.
The old method of treatment for a person in this condition was to throw him in jail.
Good morning, everybody. Hello there. Welcome to Friday. Right before a three-day weekend, that means it's a half-ass holiday Friday. My name's John Holmberg. There's Brady Bogan, Brett Festley, Big Dick Toledo. This is the Morning Sickness, and it's ready to go. And I have to say, yesterday was just a weird, last night was a weird day. It's the first time in about 17 or 18 years that this show won't have somebody's ears on it. And that's a fact, because just a couple days ago, I got an email from this very person who said that they were listening again. In the ICU, a guy named Mike Rimbrax, who became friends with the show. Rimbrax. I always called him Rimbrax. Added extra letters because his name was so Polish.
The movie man.
Yeah, he knew every movie. He was a movie guy. Mike Flicks, if you wanted a movie, he'd get it to you on a DVD before.
Oh, he's the guy.
He's the guy.
Oh, okay. Rimbrax. I didn't know that was him. Yeah. Okay.
And Mike, we've all had friends in our lives. Mike passed away yesterday. He's been battling blood clots. And I've known that. So he's been in the hospital in and out since around the middle of December. And back and forth, you know, I don't know if he's been in the entire time, been able to get visitors. And he's like, I'm not ready to see people. He's had operations for blood clots in his lungs. It worried me because Mike was my drinking buddy. Mike drank too much. There's no question about it.
He was part of the Arizona drinking team, too.
Mike drank too much. There's no question, no doubt. I've talked to him about it. That's no, you know, like bash on him, but he drank too much. And so he, you know, he's a regular at a couple of places. He introduced me to
Bridget's.
Bridget's, yeah. Went out to Bridget's because he had a crush on the bartender Holly, who is crushable. She's a beautiful girl. And then Mike would awkwardly hit on her, and Flip Orley and I went up there with him one time, and he's a regular up at Casey Jones. Like they know him real well, but he drinks too much. But I don't know if that was it. When he told me about a month and a half ago, he's going to just stop drinking cold turkey. I'm like, what's going on? Like, is it the drinking or is something? Because the last time someone said that to me, they smoked. I'm going to quit smoking. I'm like, you smoke 3 packs a day. You don't just stop that. Something else is in your head. What's going on? He goes, I don't know. I just don't feel right. I'm like, is it the smoking or is it something else? And he said, I if I stop smoking, I bet I feel better. I'm like, all right. Well, he knew his body was, something was wrong. And he ended up like a month of not smoking and he had pancreatic cancer. Ugh. So I think Mike was dealing with the same things. Like, I drink too much. I know I drink too much. Something's not right. And when he stopped, he went into the hospital and they found blood clots. Well, they've been doing these surgeries. I talked to him a couple of days ago. He said, back listening, show sounds better than ever. You know, blah, blah, blah. He said, loved Brett. Just thought Brett was the greatest addition of anything of all time. He emails all the time. And then had another blood clot, went in for surgery and didn't make it. Ugh. Which is crazy. But Mike was that friend we all have. And this is weird to me because I became friends with him. He came here because he won an auction to sit in on the show. Can't remember the comedian, but come in when we had an interview with the comedian, and he got to hang out in here with us. And still,
brought
his
Caroline's,
yeah, he brought food. I forgot about that. His Facebook page still is the day he was here, the big picture on the cover page. And so last night, a friend of mine, Phil, says we have a mutual friend who wanted me to tell you that Mike's gone. His mother passed away last year, and it devastated him. And I don't know that didn't play a part in his health declining. He was that friend that just kind of showed up, and I don't feel guilty about it because it's me, and I understand people die, and there's nothing you can do to beat yourself up about it. But he texted me probably every day, something about getting something to drink or meeting up every day. And after a while, there's that friend thing where you're like, all right, enough. You know, Mike, stop. I can't – every day can't – like if I say I can't go today, that doesn't mean ask me about tomorrow because that's how it always was. And he was a great guy, but it was that thing where it's like, hey, Brady, want to go get a drink today? Oh, I can't again. Tomorrow?
Tomorrow I got a meeting.
What about the day after that? He was just going to go until he found a day you were open, and it felt like you were getting trapped. And then once you'd have a drink, like, he'd want to do it again the next day. Or once you go. But then when I'd go have a drink with him every once in a while, we had a great time. But it was always that guy who, you know, and then now he's gone and it's weird. But that guy who bugs you, like, he drives you nuts. And then you like hanging out with him, but you don't want to hear from him every single day.
Yeah.
So I would tell him, like, Mike, because I'm just kind of blunt. Every damn day. You can't ask me out on a date every goddamn day. And he would laugh.
Come on, Kemosabe.
No, yeah, and he called me Kemosabe in chief all the time. And I'm like, that's got to stop. And he wasn't doing it like as a joke. He called me Kemosabe. I think he called plenty of people Kemosabe, which was kind of one of the charms of him, was that he was missing that element of social skill that made him a little awkward and also a little bit comfortable. Nice guy. And he laughed at everything right. He was funny. But it's the first time in, I think, about 18 years that this guy is not listening to the show. And he was an avid fan. So occasionally we become friends with somebody who's like a super fan. And I went from being some, you too, Brady, I went from being some weird character in his brain that walked on water for some reason to just the guy sitting next to him drinking. When I first went out and did anything with him, I was always uncomfortable because he would comment, I guess, on me being nice to a busboy or a waiter. Like it surprised him. A busboy would go by and he's like, hey, blah, blah, blah. And we were at a place called Bootleggers one time, and the busboy came by and asked, are you John from the radio? I'm like, yeah. And he goes, oh my God, can I get a picture? I'm like, sure. So I took a picture, and Mike was like, this is unbelievable. Like, I got to tell you,
that's the
nicest thing I've ever seen anybody do. I'm like, Mike, it's nothing. It's absolutely zero. And this kid is delusional to think that valuable picture is valuable at all. It's nothing. It's like taking a picture of any other person in here. It's strange. And it always floated, but then kind of brought it back to earth. But it's weird to have him gone. I will say that he's not going to text me anymore. That's good. And I deal with death differently than most people. I'm like, there it is. You know, that's the one. But it is strange because he was a constant on my emails and certainly on my phone. I did enjoy my time hanging out with him. Drove me bananas on top of it all with his constant requests. The worst part I have about this, the only guilt I carry, is while he was in the hospital around Christmas, he texted me and said, hey, I'm in the hospital. Can you help me out? The people watching my dog are going to leave and can't do it. Can you come get a dog's name, Remy? Come get Remy and take care of him for the next few days. Well, I've got this three-legged pit bull that's triggered by other dogs outside of our little pack of dogs. Like, she likes our dogs. I don't know how she's going to respond. I didn't want to put this little dog in that kind of situation. So I told him, and we were thinking about going up and playing in the snow. So I don't know if we're going to be home much on Saturday, and we might stay. And I said, so I really don't want to say yes and then have to shuttle your dog off to another person. And he said, okay. We ended up not going because the snow came late. It was like Christmas Day. Remember how hard it was raining? And I just didn't want to travel in it. But I didn't also call him back and say, hey, we can take your dog now. Hopefully he had made other arrangements. So the last real conversation I had with him was kind of more of a lie, more of a bull kind of thing where I'm like, I told him I was going and I didn't. Now I could help and now I'm not going to. So that's you always have that moment where you think back like, oh, I could have done something different for this.
Yeah,
person.
How now could I have gone. Answered that? Look, you can't do that I just yourself. Don't want
to. 2020.
Yeah, you can't do that to yourself.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's weird though. It was an odd night and I got that call. The strangest thing in the world, that dude, just didn't make it through the surgeries. I don't know the details of the medical side though. But it is funny. You lost a friend kind of unexpectedly once. Your buddy Wilty, right?
Yeah.
Just kind of get a call. I remember you were sitting in here, you got a call, and you came back and you go, Wilty's dead.
Widowmaker.
Yeah. Got the heart attack, just dropped him. Nobody saw any of it other than his
wife.
His general size and everything else. Nobody waiting
for
this.
Yeah, he was an athlete.
Yeah. Well, used to be.
Yeah, used to be.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't. I saw him. I knew he was no longer an athlete.
Yeah.
But he was a bigger dude, you know, susceptible by the writing on the wall, but nobody was like, oh, it's happening, it's coming, it's soon. It takes you by surprise. And I'm sure your last few moments are like, oh, I should have done this, I should have done that. Or you always have that moment for a little bit at least to go, oh, I didn't make an effort to call.
In that case, you just don't know. But yeah, right. I felt like I know what you're saying because, you know, I think the one that would compare a little more would like be maybe my mom's, my grandfather, Papelchick.
Yeah.
But I had that final weekend with him. But there's a couple of things that you were like, oh, maybe I'll reach out to him in the next week or two, see how he's doing. And you just didn't do it.
Yeah. And then that's the thing you play. It's like, oh, I should have, could have. And you try to have that last moment. You try to have the closure moment. You're not going to have it. Because now you know that would have been the last time you talk. You don't know that.
Right.
The last time you talk to somebody. Like me talking to you right now. I don't know that this is the last time, so I'm not going to say all the things that you wish you could have said. By the way, I have to say that only our listeners would do this. Eaton Althaus was the one who emailed me after I found out, the first listener that knew that Mike was gone. And so beautiful, his words. I immediately sent it off to the people at Hallmark and said, this guy needs to write sympathy cards for you. Subject, Rimbrax is dead. Brutal. That's it. That's how I found out from – that's how he was – had I not known already, that's how he was breaking
really
the news
to me. You don't have to read the rest of the email.
No, there wasn't much to it. But that's how he broke it to me. So had I not been told already, that's how I would have found out. Rimbrax is dead. That's it. You're done. But, to all the people who knew him, he was a good dude. And, sad thing is he didn't have much family. His mom passed away. I think he had a strange relationship with his brother, and they're trying to figure that out. But it is weird. 18 years, for sure, 18 years, this guy has not taken his ears off of this show and was a proud fan, which is strange. It was like if we were far right-wing Republicans, he would be the leader of QAnon. He was our shaman. He was the one who would storm the castle for us. And I know there's a couple others out there, but,
a true ghoul.
A true ghoul, like top-to-bottom ghoul.
Boy, we are one dysfunctional family.
It is really. It is a strange thing. But it was just one of those gut punches last night when you hear that. Because I didn't expect that. I talked to him 2 days earlier. 2 days ago, chatted with him about, you doing all right? And he goes, yeah, everything's good. Got, still in the hospital trying to get through this thing. And then, told me his last texts were like, I was terrified. Like, I was terrified of what was happening. They kept telling me it was really bad. I almost didn't make it through the first surgery. I didn't know he was having another one. So, to all you listeners, just to say, just in case you guys all die, like a couple of probably die this weekend, you don't know, right? Maybe.
I hope not, but
We appreciate you. That's basically what this is about. I never get the chance to say that. It may be a chance for you guys to look at somebody like your Rimbrax friend, and say, the guy kind of drives me bananas. I like him a lot, but he drives me bananas. But maybe take that guy out for a drink this weekend. Maybe.
Or that thought of, like, I should probably call them and you haven't. Or send them a text.
Don't do that. If you've got a friend like Mike, don't open the door with you calling. Don't be the one who breaches that. Trust me. Unless you're saying, hey, I'll meet you for a drink. Because you don't have to open the door. He was the guy who asked every day.
Yeah.
So when you've got – and everybody's had a friend like that. Everybody's had that friend that's just like, dude, can't do it. And you find yourself just like – you feel like a jerk. But a lot of the times I was telling the truth. I can't. I can't do that. I can't go to – almost every time. You're out there at that React defense. You want to meet up at Bridget's Last Laugh. And I'm like, dude, I've got that. I got to go home. It's too much. Well, but tomorrow. I'm like, Mike, give me a break.
About the day after that.
Yeah, exactly. Give me a break. I'll let you know. And then, a week would go by. What do you think? Vodkas with the unwashed? I'd be like, all right, I'll have a drink with you. God damn it. And then I'd end up having a great time with him.
I feel like I'm on cruise control with my dad.
Yeah.
Because you can never have enough. I mean, it's been 2 or 3 years.
You've
where
had about
I wouldn't
30
be surprised
events.
If that call came in like, right. Hey, dad didn't wake up or dad's gone.
Right. Yeah.
And so you just want, that was one where, okay, I just want to make sure. It's like every time you talk, you're good.
It's a little different
with
that.
You don't cover it when you talk.
No.
But you just know, okay.
And Mike was only like 52, 51. It's different because my
friend
who's 94 who passed away, we always said like the right thing when we'd part company.
Yeah.
You always are like, this might be it. There's a good chance this 94-year-old guy doesn't have tomorrow. So take advantage of right now and say the right thing before you go. And you always try to do that. This might be the last time thing because you're seeing a 94-year-old body in front of you. And he was always good, and then he finally passed away. And what do? You go back and say, oh, we were supposed to see him, but they had a COVID shutdown at where he lives. And so we couldn't have that last day. But the last time I saw him, we had a nice talk at the end. And I'm like, hey, and I just remember saying, I appreciate you. Love you, Freddie. We'll talk to you next time. And I didn't get to talk to him the next time. Same thing with Rimbrax. I would have never thought this is the last time, and I'm never going to live my life thinking that. That's a fake way to live. Like, this is the last time I'm going to see Brett and Brady. Yeah.
Especially somebody your age. You just don't you don't think of that.
Oh. The only thing I ever thought when I'd leave with Mike was, okay, I got that out of the way. That's a couple more weeks before I have to have a drink with him. Because he was relentless. He was a relentless. He drank every day. It was available every day to go out and have a drink with him. And it made me feel like maybe he's a little lonely, you know, with some of that stuff. He was a good dude, just a top-notch dude. And everybody at the bar loved him. He was Norm. So it's weird, 18 years. But thanks to Ethan Althouse for breaking the news so delicately to somebody who luckily I'd already known. Hey, your buddy Rimbrax is dead.
Brutal.
Thanks, Eaton. Anything else? Yeah, it was violent. Evidently, it was real bloody. It was, woof, dude's out. And then I get another email from a guy named Greg. Says, get this. He goes, just to let you know the fragility of life. This is after I find out about Mike. Says, walking my dogs yesterday, and I saw a man getting his mail at the communal mailboxes in my neighborhood. With his truck still running, he hops out, goes around the back end of his truck, stumbles, falls, smashes his head on the sidewalk. Said, I'm standing with my dog. He's unresponsive. So I called 911. Eventually started chest compressions because the lady on the phone said to. His breathing came back short and shallow, bleeding badly from his head. Number of people came out of their homes to help. Paramedics got there. I'm fairly convinced the guy died while I was doing CPR. The EMT said he was in bad shape when they left. It was apparent by smell and sight. I was trying to help. He pooped and peed.
Oh.
He emptied his bowels when he fell. Just wanted to walk my dog, man. That's all I was out to do yesterday, was have my dog and I go for a walk. I passed some guy's head wide open on the sidewalk. What would you do? What would you guys have done? I feel like I would have felt worse had I kept walking or not done a thing, called 911 and just stood there. He said, if he lived, technically my dog is what saved his life. I don't walk my dog that way. I feel like I should be more bothered by this. Tell me what you would have done, Greg.
So what would Brady do on Friday?
Kind of a what would Brady do on Friday. Think of that. You just see a totally healthy dude just fall and go. He's done. Just from a stumble.
Yeah.
Crazy.
My uncle with the massive head trauma.
Yeah, I remember him.
He was walking their property with his neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And when he fell about 11 feet.
The first time?
And the head hit the concrete truss. It was about a 10-foot fall. And it was like, it was open.
That's his pumpkin. Massive head trauma?
Yeah. Ew. And the neighbor.
Pumpkin?
Went over and held it together, calling 911, and had to hold his head together.
Good God.
And he survived.
Whoa.
The alphabet was out of the question, but he survived, and that's a good thing. I don't know what I'd want. I think if my head's a pumpkin on the side of the road, I'd like you and your dog to just keep walking.
And he coded for 11 minutes.
Yeah, just keep walking. You see me slip and fall and smash my head on the sidewalk, and it opens up. And you see, if you see my brains, you can continue your dog walk. Yeah, there's no reason to really kind of hold me back together. That's enough. Because I can't imagine me coming back wanting to be part of that. I'm not heroic in that. I don't think that my thumb doing a thumbs up and me mumbling like, wah, wah, is surviving. Yeah, everybody else will be just fine. This is the way I want to run. And if I bonk my head, and you see, if Brady, Brett, that's a rule.
Okay.
You ever see my brains? It's just blow on it. Make more air hit it. get a floor fan and point it at the opening, and then just go. We get more air on that brain, the faster he's going to go. We don't want him back like this.
Keeping you alive.
No, you are not. Because you know what the first words I'll learn are? Kill Brady. I don't have that weird hand.
Okay.
Kill Brady.
That's cute, John.
No, I would, and then I would only go through rehab to kill you. That would be the only reason, only motivation I had if Brady saved my brains.
You kidding? The seats I'd have at sporting events, you around.
You see, I would take you anywhere. See you at parallel. We would get in the second level, and I'd do everything I could to push you over with my chair. The parallel bars where you see somebody learning how to walk again. That would be like it would be that Rocky music playing. It's like, look at how good John's doing. He's walking again. Brady.
Yes, cursing
he's
me the
talking,
whole time.
He's talking. He's lifting weights. I go, pounds. Brady. And we got to be on the news. Former Valley DJ. thriving after acting. Brady.
Looking good, Chief.
Looking good, buddy. I don't know why I keep saying that, but oh, that's great. Always a laugh, that guy, even in his worst. Not kidding. You see my brains? Keep walking your dog. Call 911, so we got to clean up on aisle 5, but let's. I'm not interested in that whole hold my head back together and let. I'm not Humpty Dumpty. All the King's Horsemen can just come over and stomp me out. But anyway, it's fragile. The point is, the whole thing's fragile. So just a quick note to let you know, we all joke around and goof and everything else, but it is appreciated that the time you guys put in, because I know Mike was one of those super fans, and losing a super fan's brutal. As super fans are both annoying and scary and also super appreciated, and a lot of the times really awesome people, and he was one of those. So tip of the cap to old Rimbax. He's no longer with us, but 18 years he gave us. Wrote me a lot of funny letters. I mean, he wrote for this show, too, a little bit on occasion. Had some things that he would email that I would use that were great. So, yeah, it's weird. So thanks to all of you guys for hanging around. And if you die this weekend, now I've said my piece. I love you. There. I got that off my conscience.
Been a great run.
Yeah, and if I fall in front of you and you see my brain, just blow in the open hole and then kill Brady.
We got to save him.
If you hear Brady say that, if EMT Brady says that and you see my brains, kill him right there. Kill him dead before I go.
We got to save him. I can't imagine not trying to save him.
Let my brains go.
Keep moving, folks.
Yeah.
John, do you think you want to get in the water with the buoys?
Kill Brady. Splash, splash, splash.
You're getting so strong. You'll be back to good at kill Brady.
I don't want to be that hero.
Hey, Holberg!
I don't want to be that hero.
How's he doing?
Brady? Yeah, Brady's here. Kill Brady? Yeah, he's going to come in a minute. Kill Brady! He really wants to see you, Brady.
Oh, that's great.
That's all he talks about is you.
Who taught him the choke move?
I go to tackle black rehab. Kill Brady. All right, well, teach him how to kill Brady. I mean, my feet all crooked, my hands all crabbed up and coming at you. Kill Brady. Yeah, I have no desire. What about you? Your brains are out. You want me to save that and have you wander around?
Not much of a life. Yeah.
He's going to chase after you doing a Thriller dance all the way.
That Kirby, baby.
You didn't take Kirby out for breakfast?
That bitch in a tube.
Oh, Brady's eating through tubes still. How did Brady lose the ability to eat and gain weight?
I'm going to puree those pancakes.
Oh, that one came out clear. Anyway, so, yeah, fragility of life. It's strange. And sorry to Gregory, who wandered by that yesterday. That's no fun to see.
That's horrible.
That's crazy. I remember driving on Price and Southern way before the 101 freeway was there. I used to live over in that area when I first moved here. My mom and I were she was driving me to Little League practice. And we go turn, and there used to be a Luby's cafeteria? Is that what that was? The one where the old people eat at? Yep. Remember that? And it was right there. It was really the only thing on that corner. And we turned, and there's a motorcycle that had been hit by a car. And they had all that. They had, like, moved the lane. You had to drive all the way into the oncoming traffic. They had blocked this whole thing off. And me and I think my buddy Mike was with me. Mike Burkhart, not Rimbrax. He wasn't there yet. He wasn't even going to go get a drink. We're 8 years old. So I'm poking my head out the window. I'm looking. I'm like, oh, look at that motorcycle. It's all torn up. And there's flares around stuff not to hit it because it's kind of dusk. There's flares everywhere. And then there's one set of flares, and Mike goes, look! And right before they could put something over it, this dude's leg was just there, and he was laying over there under a blanket. We didn't know that. My mom told me later that the guy was under a blanket, but his leg was...
They didn't have another blanket.
It was probably another 35 feet away. So there's the bike in the middle of the road just mangled. His leg's probably 10 feet from the bike, and then about 30 feet from that is him. And I'm like, whoa. And that, I remember thinking, was the first time I'd ever stumbled. It was right after it happened. Stumbled onto that scene. No fun. And then that car wreck I saw where that dude.
Yeah, that one.
I watched that girl's head come off. Right? That was, ugh. So you never know. You just never know. So live your life to the fullest. And if your brains show and Brady wants to save you, kill Brady. Do you want your head put back together?
No.
You know, I admire I see people like, you know, that Gabby Giffords got shot in the melon.
Hopefully you have that choice, but a lot of times you don't. You're out.
Well, you think of that Gabby was it Giffords? Yeah. I was going to say Douglas. Gabby Giffords got shot, and then you see her, and you're like, man, that, I'm good for you, but that's not something I ever want to go through. Like,
I have a couple of friends. I have two friends that are still alive that had trauma. One was on a motorcycle.
You always stumble over that phrase.
He got thrown off the back of a motorcycle. Went to University of Alabama, and he's never been the same. Still alive to this day.
Yeah.
He's been going from job to job, and you wouldn't know it if you you know, were talking to him. Maybe there's something missing there. And then the other one went on and got his degree, got a medical degree.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And still practicing, but he's still never been the same guy.
You're not normal.
Different
guy.
My uncle had to use the other side of his brain because –
one was missing.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be revived just because, like, I don't want to put not only – I usually I'm a selfish prick, but I don't want to put everybody through all the crap of dealing with my dumbass rolling
me
around.
That's the biggest reason
why. I don't
want
to do it.
Yeah. I got the surgery coming up, and I don't want anybody to have to drive me anywhere. Yeah. I'm practicing driving with my left foot right now because my right will be out of commission. I am terrible at driving with – I don't know if you've ever tried that for an extended period of time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Not an extended period, but saying, look, I'm going to do it from
– drive from work
so-and-so to
home and
yeah.
convince yourself you can pull this off. You break like your foot's 3,000 pounds. It's like slamming on the brakes every time. No matter how soft you try to go, you are lurching.
Yeah, there's no
way. I'm terrible at it, so I'm going to have to rely on other people to drive me around, and I hate that.
We get Vader to pick you every morning.
Oh, that you what kill Brett for even suggesting it. Anyway, it's 6:10. Sad way to start the morning, but also a tribute to a guy who's a ton of fun, and you just never know when your number's up. And it's a sad way to go out. It was, you know, the last couple weeks in the hospital trying to figure out what was wrong, and they didn't. But, look at that one friend that kind of drives you nuts today. That's the moral of the story. We've all got that one friend that drives you nuts. Brady's going to get a ton of calls. One friend that drives you a little bit nuts.
Kenny, Laser.
Oh, my God. Brady, I really respect you and like you have. I like having you around.
Gosh, you're the 14th person to tell me that today.
Man, what's with all the calls today?
I'm ringing off the hook. I'm the most popular guy in the world.
Anyway, give that guy a call and say, hey, let's go grab a drink because you never know. Let's get a wake-up song, shall we? 585-9800, a good one. We'll scream it together. It's 98 KUPD. Wake up!
98. Oh, my gosh. 98. Shut the front door.
You've been listening to Holmberg's Morning Sickness Podcast, brought to you by our friends at Eric's Family Barbecue in Avondale. Meet, mesquite, repeat. Eric'sFamilyBBQ.com.